Welcome to Hype episode 68. I'm Marma and I have with me today Kyle and a special guest. We have the lovely Kristen from Hypeable joining us. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us, Kristen. Have you been on Hype before?
I have not.
Whoa.
There have been a couple of close calls where I almost did to fill in, but this is the first time.
Oh, well, aww. First time is always special. So welcome. we have a lot to talk about this week. We have some crazy Twilight news to talk about. We have a whole lot of announcements that happened. For once, the big announcement happened before we recorded, so we are pretty excited about that. But before we do, don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can on Twitter at Hypeable Hype. We are also at Hypeable Hype on Instagram, where we post fun things. You can send us an email. We are hype@hypeable.com. And of course, you can leave us a comment on the post for this podcast on hypeable.com. So it's time to talk about what we have been doing this week. Kyle, you have a very recent addition, it looks like, to How We Hype. What have you been up to today?
I literally purchased this hours ago. It's the Life and Death Twilight Reimagined storytelling, the gender-swapped story of Twilight, and I'm really excited. I'm only, like, 4 pages in, so I'm not, like, really deep in there at all, but I'm super...
Give us a review, like, of the 4 pages.
just as you expect, except... You know, instead of picturing, like, Bella, I just picture my friend Colin, I imagine to be the female Bella. And so I'm just picturing him being all, like, lonely and sad and upset about having moved to Washington. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Thrilling.
What a great review.
Yeah, thanks. No, it's going to be great. We can talk about it later, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I think we are going to have plenty to say about that. I've been to a couple movies in the last week. I saw The Martian with my problematic husband, Matt Damon. I really, really liked it. I have certainly made no secret of the fact that I was a huge fan of the book. And they did change some things, and I know that made some people mad. But I think really there kind of wasn't a lot that they could do. The book has so much detail in it that it was never going to fit into a film. But I think that they really captured the personality of Matt Damon's character. And I think they really showed this, like, dual aspect of him surviving thanks to, like, kind of human endeavor and also just science being awesome. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there were so many scenes in that film that were just, like, people being nerds. And I loved that. That was so exciting to watch. We never, ever get to see that on screen.
Yeah, I saw it this weekend as well. Loved it. I have not read the book, so I didn't have any expectations for it other than it looked awesome. And I, too, am just super geeked. I am not a science geek. Like, it is not a thing I've ever been passionate about. But I love watching movies about people who love science. I don't know why, because they always end up being so intricate and, like, detailed that I get so excited for them that they're figuring it out. So I loved The Martian. I loved it so much. So
this is the question for you, then. Would you like to read the book now? Like, would that interest you, having seen the film?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And in fact, I'm hoping to start it maybe next week. I have to go find it. But
yeah,
it sounds really, like, I've heard really good things about the book. I just hadn't, you know, had time to pick it up before the movie. So,
yeah, I think that's a good test. If you if you watch the film and you're like, hey, this is good and I want to find out more about it, and you genuinely want to go and pick up the book, like, that's a really good test of the film. I just really liked it. I thought it was great. It was funny. It was entertaining. The cast is insane in that movie. Like, I know that we knew that they were all in the cast, but it's kind of ridiculous when you're watching it and there are these huge stars that turn up to have, like, a 5-minute scene and then you kind of don't see them again for the rest of the film. I was trying to work out, like, what was their casting budget for this? This is ridiculous, you know? But that
and
was
then, like,
that
Kristen really Wiig shows up and you're like, what?
Right,
like, what
right,
is happening?
Exactly. Yeah, Donald Glover is in there for, like, a hot second. What is happening? Yeah. But I don't want to spoil it for people because I know it hasn't been out that long. But if you have seen it and if you read the book based on our 1,000 recommendations on Hype, I would be interested to hear what you think about it, because I think the book readers are kind of split on if they like the changes or if they didn't like the changes. No spoilers. The other film I saw this week was The Intern. I would definitely not recommend it. It was not a good movie. I thought it was going to be like an interesting kind of look at someone going into retirement, which could have been, I think, very like very moving in a way, because, you know, that's really a difficult stage of life for a lot of people. But it wasn't. It was basically Robert De Niro lecturing Anne Hathaway on like feminism and how to be a working mom and how to have a work-life balance and her relationships, and him just being like this amazing guy because he was old and he was a dude. And yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that, as we may have guessed. And certainly if I had known about that going into the film, I would not have seen it. So yeah, don't go and see The Martian again. Like, that would be my recommendation. See The Martian twice. See The Intern. Not at all. And Kristen, have you been up to anything else apart from your Martian viewing?
I very recently mainlined the entire 5-season run of Friday Night Lights, and I freaking love that show. Like, I had heard really good things about it, you know, for a while, and it was always on that list of things that I was going to get to someday, and it just kind of was like, you know what? I need a new show, and this was like right before things had kind of started airing, and I just could not stop watching. Like, it was a true binge watch, and it's good. So if you're looking for something to binge on Netflix, I highly recommend Friday Night Lights.
Oh, good, because there isn't enough fall TV on right now. Add some more to
hey,
it.
You know, there are people who maybe just don't like anything that's on right now. You never know. It happens.
Whoa, big call.
It could happen. Well,
That is true, okay. And we will actually get to some of what we have been watching later on. But before we do that, it is time to talk about, oh, guys, what is life? We are recording actually on the 10th anniversary, for some time zones, the 10th anniversary of the Twilight books being released. And we knew that there was going to be a 10th anniversary version of Twilight that would be released with some bonus features. Turns out the bonus features was a Beyoncé-style drop from Stephenie Meyer of a gender-swapped entire book of Twilight called Life and Death. And it sounds like an April Fool's story. So, like, let's all just accept that and then just move on. Kyle's already bought it. I think it comes with, like, it's on the back of the book. Is that how it works, Kyle?
Yeah. So, well, it's like a combo, like the 10th anniversary, and then near the back is where the actual reversed side is.
So yeah. It's like a 2-in-1, and she's done the entire thing, and she has apparently flipped every single character. So Bella is now Beau, and Edward is Edith, spelt with a Y. I don't know if that changes the pronunciation, but it's a weird name anyway. And yeah, it's Life and Death. It's Twilight reimagined. She said that she was only going to do a couple of chapters, but then it was very like easy, and she kind of did the whole thing. And she also said that she wanted to do this because she thought it would change the way people see Bella. There's obviously always been quite a bit of criticism for the portrayal of that relationship and Bella being this like damsel in distress. And she thought that by seeing Bella as a male character, we might see that character more as like a human in distress, I think is the phrase that she used, versus a damsel. So before I rage about this, Kyle, tell me why you're excited about this, because obviously you bought the damn book. Like, you're obviously really into it. So break it down for me.
I'm into it because I'm really interested to see how the roles are reversed. In terms of dominance and like seeing if Edward's like forwardness and stuff as part of his personality translates to him still being a girl, like if Edith is just as nonchalant and like cool and like, you know, like relaxed as the book as male Edward. I don't even as Edward. So I'm excited to see how their personalities change, if they change at all. And honestly, the part that excites me the most is to see how the story develops if she continues to write the entire series in this fashion, because vampire Bella can't get pregnant, because vampires can't get pregnant. The only reason they got, like, the only reason Bella got pregnant is because she was human, and because of some weird science crap that Stephanie Meyer tried to explain with Edward.
Yeah.
So
we can leave the details out of it, but yeah, we get the point.
Exactly.
How did that work in reverse?
It's yeah, a good question. And so
you think she's gonna do the whole series?
I don't know. I kind of want her to really bad. But because it changes the story a lot, and so I want to see what story this would be if the roles were reversed. So
sure,
I could maybe see her doing New Moon as well, just so that readers get an idea of what the female Jacob would be. I don't know what his new name is, or her new name. But like, I could see her maybe doing that. I can't even imagine how she'd get herself out of the Breaking Dawn conundrum. Like, that would be a big that would be quite the fiasco. So yeah, I don't know, that'd be interesting though.
What if she did one of these for the 10th anniversary of each of the books? Because I'm looking at New Moon is the second one that came out on the 6th of September 2006, so that's a lot of time to do a find and replace search in a manuscript. You know, that's plenty of time to get this ready for next time. I just think, part of me just feels like this is Stephanie Meyer's way of getting back at E.O. James for cashing in on Twilight fanfic and being like, I can do that too. I can write Twilight fanfic. And also because, you know, E.O. James kind of stole her idea by doing Grey, you know, instead of Midnight Sun, which she's never finished. So this is her, like, they're kind of one-upping each other with the ways of telling the same story again, which I just find, I find this very funny. You know, I think for Twilight fans, I can understand the excitement of, like, imagine if they were like, okay, well, J.K. Rowling's releasing the Harry Potter books, but Harry's a girl and you know, is like this badass girl who just gets into trouble, and like Hermione's this really smart guy, and Ron's this like dopey girl.
I would be so behind that.
Oh my god! Yes.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
We would stand in line.
Dumbledore, like, yeah.
It's like, it's not necessarily like, so it's not the fact that you're upset that she's gender swapped, but like you're just more just like, it's a lame reason to gender swap and to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm not like, I don't really have any issue with it. On principle, what I don't like is the way that she talked about this as if this somehow validated Twilight into being like a feminist statement.
Got it.
Because that's not how feminism/sexism works. You know, like, Twilight is, people like it or they don't like it, whatever. But that was a very problematic relationship. And Bella was like this vessel girl with no personality so that people could put themselves in her place. Like, that's how those books worked. And so by being like, oh, but if it was a guy, it would be different. Like, that aspect of the relationship remains. She's just removed the gender aspect, but that doesn't make Twilight any more feminist, you know, because the way that we look at men and women in society is different. So the way we will look at male and female Bella is going to be different as well. So I just found that, like, very irritating to me personally. But I mean, in general, I kind of think this is amazing. Like, it's the equal best and worst news story that we have had for a long time. It's just the weirdest thing. I can't believe she managed to release this and no one knew. That's the best thing. She literally did a Beyonce. Like, no one knew that this was happening.
Yeah, that was the best part, is when I told my friend about it. Like, she heard about it and she was like, oh, that's cool, I wonder when it comes out. I was like, oh, it's out, like, today. Like, it's done.
Yeah, you can go and buy it now. That's nuts. Kristen, are you going to be picking this up?
Probably not. If
I can
somehow
lend you it on my Kindle.
I was going to say, if somehow someday a copy landed in my lap, I would at least peruse it and see if it was worth my time. But, I mean, I liked Twilight, the books, when they were out, you know, kind of before it exploded. Like, I enjoyed them, whatever, but it's just not a fandom that I've continued to be really, like, intensely passionate about. They were just fun, and yeah, that's pretty much
cool.
It.
Cool. Well, I think I'm sure we'll have plenty more to say about this as more people have the chance to read it. Kyle will progress beyond his 4 pages and might be able to give us the second part of his review next time. But for now, I think we'll leave it there. If you guys listening have thoughts on this, make sure to let us know on Twitter or let us know in the comments. It's just a very strange situation. So let's accept that and move on to our next story. Kristen.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about
Sorry.
It.
Hi, guys. Yeah. Okay.
Just newbie.
Newbie. Yeah, be patient. All right. So Rick Riordan today, I guess, announced that he is writing a new series called The Trials of Apollo, which are going to be set in Percy Jackson's world. So all of you Percy Jackson fans that were freaking out at the Blood of Olympus because you were saying goodbye, it wasn't really goodbye. This series is actually going to, it sounds like, be told from Apollo's point of view. And he gets in trouble with Zeus, and Zeus gets pissed and sends him to Earth as a 16-year-old mortal boy with absolutely no powers. And I can't even, like, knowing how he wrote Apollo in those books, and as much as I enjoyed the crazy poetry spouting ridiculous person that was Apollo the god, I'm really excited to see how Apollo the boy develops and how all the Percy Jackson characters and the whole world fits into it. It's going to be really fun. He already said that we'll be, you know, along the way we'll be meeting up with all the fan favorite characters like Nico and Leo and of course Annabeth and Percy. So I'm just really excited because we thought it was done and over and we were all, you know, moving on to Magnus Chase and trying to be just as excited about that, you know, and I'm a little ways into Magnus Chase and it's good, but it's really, really exciting to know that it's not quite the end of the Greek version of his stories.
Yeah, this is super exciting. I read Magnus Chase a while ago, and there is a review somewhere on one of our episodes. But basically, it's awesome. But yeah, I really liked, for me, my enjoyment of the Percy Jackson series increased immensely in that Heroes of Olympus, I think is what it's called, the second series that was about those characters. Because, you know, it's not a middle grade series anymore. Like, they're more mature and the writing reflected that. And so the fact that this is going to show them even later on is encouraging to me, not just because we'll be able to see what they're up to, but also because it'll be like a continuation of seeing that growth. And I think this is a really smart idea for Rick Riordan as well, because, you know, We've had a lot of series of demigods at this point. Like, you know, he's done a lot of it, and he's doing something, I guess, slightly different with Magnus Chase, but it's in like a similar kind of vein. And so this idea of seeing how an actual god would deal with this, I think, is going to be really cool because it'll show a different take. And Apollo was such a fun character in those books. Like, he was just so, you know, over the top and ridiculous. And so he seems like a good choice because I don't think he will deal with this well. And that would be, you know, that would be fun to read about. So, yeah, I'm not like the world's biggest Percy Jackson fan, but as in, like, I really like them, but I've only read all of them once kind of thing. But yeah, this will be really fun. I think I will definitely check this out. He must be the busiest author, like, working right now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a full plate, that's for sure, because the first book of the Trials of Apollo series, titled The Hidden Oracle, is supposed to hit shelves in May of 2016. So, that, you know, like, that's really not that far away. And then following that, the second book in Magnus Chase will be out on October 4th of 2016. So he's really pushing it. Yeah, like, for a while it was a book a year, you know, with the Percy Jackson series. We got one almost every October, you know, maybe a little bit further, sometimes November. But yeah, so there's a lot of Rick Riordan coming up for fans, and that's really, really good fun.
This guy has so many books out. Oh my god.
I can't wait for the gender swapped Percy Jackson. It's gonna be great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was fun. I like starting the show with some book news. That was fun with something different.
That was awesome.
Should we jump into TV? Although I guess there is a book connection here.
Yeah. Yeah. BBC announced this past week that there's going to be a Doctor Who spin-off premiering in 2016, which is really funny because we just wrote an article about the possibilities of a Missy spin-off happening. There is a spin-off happening, but it's not related at all towards Missy that we know of. The only thing that we know is that it's called Class, and it's going to run over 8 45-minute episodes, just kind of like Doctor Who. And it's a series that's going to be written by a young adult author, Patrick Ness, who's written stuff like The Monster Calls and then Knife of Never Letting Go. I've never read either of those. Marima, have you?
Yeah, I'll talk about Patrick Ness in a bit. Okay. Tell us what the series is going to be about. So,
series, it's called Class, and really the only thing we have to go off of is the announcement from the BBC saying, incredible dangers are breaking through the walls of time and space, and with darkness coming, London is unprotected. With all the action, heart, and adrenaline of the best YA fiction, this is Coal Hill School and Doctor Who like you've never seen them before. So, just the only thing we have there is Coal Hill School, which is the school that Clara teaches at, and it's also the school that the Doctor's granddaughter went to in the original series. So it's going to revolve somewhere around Coal Hill. That's really the only thing we know, the only really true Doctor Who connection that we have so far. I don't know. I'm excited. Doctor Who spinoffs seem to be really good. Torchwood is awesome. If it only, you know, continued.
Right. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess that they're trying to maybe aim this at replacing Sarah Jane, because that obviously, unfortunately, ended when Liz Sladen passed away. Patrick Ness is a fantastic author. Let me say that quickly. A Monster Calls is amazing. My favorite is actually More Than This, which was his second last book. His most recent book is The Rest of Us Just Live Here, which I have been meaning to read forever. It came out in August, and it's a book about what it's like to be the person who isn't the chosen one. So it's kind of like, I guess, the Ron Weasley version of of life. So I think he is a really cool and interesting choice to be doing this, because he has serious YA credentials. And you know, he's obviously like a huge Doctor Who fan. I think he actually wrote a Doctor Who, one of those spin-off books. I think he may have written one of those. But this just seems like such a cool premise, you know, like, I guess it's going to be what happens at Coal Hill when Clara is not there. And that's a really fun idea, because there are so many options and directions that they could take this in. And Stephen Moffat isn't doing it. So yes. I'm really on board with that, because I think it'll be really, really interesting. So yeah, I think I mentioned I tried the new series of Doctor Who, and I watched 2 episodes and I didn't really like it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with it, but I will definitely watch Class, because this sounds great. And you know, it's going to be like basically a YA novel, like, adaptation set in the world of Doctor Who, which is just such a cool premise.
Absolutely. It's going to be great, I think.
Christian, definitely gonna have to, are you going to be watching it?
I don't know. I have some Doctor Who love. I'm way behind right now, so I don't know much of what's happened in the last season. But, you know, I'll probably give it a shot.
Yeah, me either. But I think if they're smart, they'll set this up the same way that they did with Torchwood and Sarah Jane, in that you could watch it as a separate show. I think that's been a real strength of the Doctor Who spinoffs, is that they are very separate in a way. Like, they have enough crossover so that it's still really fun. Like, it was really fun seeing the Torchwood characters crossover occasionally, but you didn't need to watch Doctor Who. If you preferred the tone of Torchwood, you could watch it as its own show. And yeah, hopefully that's what they do for this, because I'm kind of the same. I've been off Doctor Who for a while, but this has got my interest again.
It's going to be great. And speaking of other TV news, I'm terrible at transitions, can you tell?
I thought that was beautiful.
Thanks. So, in more TV news, Serial, the podcast that followed the investigation of what's his name? Adnan Syed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adnan Syed is going to be turned into a TV show. So, except it's not going to be specifically regarding Adnan and his case. It's going to be about a different case. So, it's going to be really interesting because the writers or the directors behind the Star Wars spinoff, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, are going to be behind this. And I don't know, like, it's going to be very interesting to see how they do this because it's going to be like a mix of like, a news show plus like an investigation, like CSI show. So it's like, I have no idea how this is going to go. But if you like Serial, then it's going to be, it should be interesting.
Right. It's like a, it's like they're following the people who are making the podcast while they investigate the case, kind of, I think. Yeah. So it's like the behind the scenes vibe, which I'm super into. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's like, it's not 100% clear exactly what this is going to be yet, but I loved Serial and I'm very excited for the second season of it. So yeah, I'll definitely be checking this out. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, they haven't adapted this, like this wasn't picked up for something already. When I think about it, I guess that's going to be the next thing now. Like, everyone's over book adaptations. It's now about podcast adaptations.
Who's going to make a TV show about hype, huh?
Oh, my God. Who would play us? Who would play us?
Oh, my goodness.
Kyle, you would be played by that cartoon character who you look exactly like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but who you went as Halloween.
Baljeet from Phineas and Ferb. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I hope people know who that is. I did not know who that is, but Kyle, that's like your duffel. Ganger.
I know, and it really is.
Oh, we could be an animated series. I would be played by Daria for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Kristen, who would you be? Oh, who's your animated doppelganger?
I have no idea. I've never actually thought about that.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that I knew that answer. Why did that come
Yeah, that like just like went straight, like you're just like, oh, easy, Daria. Like,
yeah, yeah, duh, I am Daria. That's so fun. Oh my God, yeah. If you guys have ideas of who should play us, then let us know in the comments. I'm super curious who would play us in the adaptation of Hype, and include make sure you include our regular host in there as well, or they'll be sad to miss out on the love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Kristen, you have another story for us?
Yes, I do. HBO is looking to develop Watchmen into a series of some sort, and they're involving Zack Snyder, who was basically in charge of the movie project. And there's not a whole lot to really report about it other than they're in talks, they're looking into it, they're, you know, kind of, they're excited about it. I'm just interested in the Zack Snyder effect of it all. Like, his movies are always really great visually. Like, they're usually incredibly stunning, which HBO is not short on. Like, they do very well with their visual effects and that. But for TV, like, his style is incredibly specific when you look at his films. So I'm very interested to know how they're going to transfer that into like a TV series if he's directing, like if it's going to be his baby, if he's just, you know, going to be involved because he was involved in the original project, then I can see it being a little, you know, the same property, but something slightly different. But it's definitely an interesting project. I'm going to keep my eye on it. I loved the graphic novel and the movie was fine, but I'd be interested to see what HBO wants to do with it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he's going to be like super involved because he's got all of the Justice League movies coming up. Like he's supposed to be directing, well, Justice League, if that all goes ahead as planned. Obviously he's got Batman vs Superman. As we know from like Joss Whedon's involvement in the MCU, it's more than just a directing job, you know, it can be like really shaping kind of the whole universe, as it were, if you're taking on those really big properties. So I don't know, maybe he's like Rick Riordan and has plenty of time to do literally everything.
Or maybe it'll be another Aaron Sorkin and The Newsroom and it will disappear after a season and a half and make me really sad.
Yes, perhaps. This is cool, though. The Watchmen, the the book is like one of my favorite graphic novels. It's, you know, it's amazing and incredible, and everyone should read it because it's so short. The film was not good. The film, I did not enjoy the film. So part of me would probably prefer maybe if he wasn't involved with the series, like just maybe that would be a possibility. Get someone else to do it. I don't know.
He has some issues when he is in charge of scripts, or when he is like director and is Lord above all when it comes to scripts. He's really great with visuals, but it's the storytelling aspect of it that he sometimes gets away from him. So I'm hoping that if he's involved but not the creative driving force, that maybe that will help. Because Watchmen's a great property, and I think there's a lot HBO can do with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is so weird because we just had Limitless, that, you know, that TV series that Bradley Cooper is like exec producing based on the film that he did. So again, like, I mean, Selena would be going nuts if she was here because there is nothing original and nothing original to happen. But, you know, HBO is a good fit for Watchmen. Like, they couldn't really do it anywhere else, I don't think. So I'll be interested to see what happens with that. But I think we'll leave it there for TV for now. We've done this all in reverse. We did books, we did TV, now we're doing movies. Of course, it's time to talk about my favorite thing ever in the world, Mockingjay. We had the trailer, like we talked about last time, premiered in Best Buy, which is apparently a store that exists. And you had to go there to watch it. But now they've released it online, so everyone can breathe easy again. And it's a really good trailer. It's a very different trailer. It's the last Mockingjay Part 2 trailer, and Katniss is really pissed. She's, like, really mad in it, and I love it. I think that the speech she's doing in this is probably from when she goes to District 2, is it? And she does this speech there for the people, like, on camera. I kind of thought that that might be where it is, but we also get a lot of shots of what it's like in the Capitol, and there's kind of a little bit of everything in here. We can see Finnick at the end. Oh, so sad. Natalie Dormer doesn't say anything, so that's one strike against the trailer, but we got to see her. Did you guys check this out? Am I the only person? I feel like every week on Hype, it's just me being very excited and everyone being like, all right, let's let her get it out of her system.
I haven't seen it yet because, like, I tend to do this thing, like, I don't know if it's weird, but I don't like to watch all the trailers for movies just because I feel like it makes the experience less awesome because I've seen more and more of the footage. So
interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. So I actually think that they do a very good job with the Hunger Games films of balancing the amount of footage that you see. You know, like, they don't do, well, they haven't been doing those really long scenes and things like that. You know, like, this trailer, you get a lot of glimpses of things, but it's really quickly to kind of feed the overarching theme of the trailer, which is Katniss is mad. That's what this is saying.
Yeah, and throughout the series, they've done a very good job of burying the lead. Like, they didn't let you see the games in the first. Like, that's what everyone wanted to see. Everyone wanted to see footage of the games from the first two movies, and they didn't let you. Like, that you saw that little bit of her running in the forest. Like, woohoo, there's your glimpse. Like, they did a very good job of burying the lead, and knowing what, you know, we all know about Mockingjay, there's certain things that I was kind of like, I want a glimpse of it. I want to know what it looks like. And I didn't see it. So it's like, okay, they're doing the same thing. Like, they know what they're doing. They've done a very good job with trailers. I saw this one and loved it. It's intense and crazy. And you get little glimpses of everyone. And it's just like, this is the end. And I don't know if I'm okay with that. So I'm with you there.
Yes, I am definitely not okay with it, but never fear, because I will be talking about it absolutely every single week until the film comes out, and then probably on the anniversary every year for the rest of my life. So, you know, just get ready for that. A little bit more movie news. We have some Marvel news, of course. It wouldn't be Hype without it. we looks like we have a director for Thor 3, and I want to talk about this because it is Taika Waititi, who is a New Zealand director, and he actually directed What We Do in the Shadows, which is the funniest and best movie objectively ever to be made. So everyone, go and check that out. It's a parody movie about vampires, like as if vampires were shot in the style of, you know, The Office or Parks and Rec by like a documentary crew that follows them around. Vampires who live in a little flat in New Zealand, and it's amazing. So yeah, this is very exciting. People are excited because I think he's the first non-white director to be attached to a Marvel film, so that's good. And he's also, like, I love him, but he's kind of a smaller name than some of the other people we've had attached to Marvel properties. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does with this, because he's kind of done a few things in New Zealand, and he's primarily done comedy, so, and kind of offbeat comedy at that. So yeah, you know, we don't really know what the movie's about or anything yet. We just know that it's coming in 2017, but I just wanted to mention that because that film is amazing. And you know, if there's anything that could make me excited about the Thor films, which are probably the most boring films in the MCU, it would be this guy, Taika Waititi, like directing it, because he's just the best. And yeah, that would be great.
I'm expecting some solid jokes.
I was going to say,
the only sad thing about this is that they're meant to be making a sequel to that film, and now I'm like, wait, are they delaying the sequel? Because I would rather not have Thor 3 and have the What We Do in the Shadows sequel, like 100%. That's not even a difficult question.
I'm glad to know that they've got somebody with a sense of humor doing the third Thor one, because, like, I actually liked the first two, as opposed to some people. But it's better when it's somebody that's got a really good sense of humor, and the world's been set up so well now that it, you know, like, he doesn't have to do the world building stuff. So now it's just making a really good film out of what we have, like what we know about Thor and his family. So I'm excited. It's gonna be great. I think it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's weird though. Like, I guess I don't know. It is a little weird that we've had three directors for the three different films, especially, I guess, because there's been so much continuity with the Captain America films. You know, like we had Kenneth Branagh for the first one, but then the second one was directed by Alan Taylor, and he was also like a kind of out of nowhere director, like very well regarded for his TV directing, but hadn't done heaps of films. So, you know, that's good. I like when they take a chance on someone, and like you said, Kristen, it helps that there's a lot established already in this world. So yeah, it just seems like such a random combination. This was the story that I was like, wait, is this the April Fool story this week? Then Twilight happened, and I was like, oh no, wait, we found it. But yeah, so just keeping with Marvel, also Kevin Feige, our very good friend, does interviews. I swear his job is just doing interviews about this stuff. He gave a little interview about Civil War, and he said what we kind of knew, that it is going to be really the completion of the Captain America trilogy. And then everyone freaked out on the internet because, you know, as we have been discussing, there is a possibility that a new person may be taking up the mantle of being Captain America at the end of Civil War, depending how that story plays out in the films compared to how it played out in the comics. So, you know, that could be, I guess, a plus for that. But he might also just mean that, you know, in terms of the emotional arc of Captain America, like we're really going to see the climax and resolution of that in Civil War, which is good because that means that, you know, they're putting an emphasis on him as a character, which would be nice as it's his film. But, you know, Iron Man's also there, so we'll see.
And everyone else that's ever been in a Marvel movie.
I can't even talk about this. It just makes me mad and sad. So we'll move on. You listen to any episode of Hype to hear me rage about that. But yeah, it's all kind of news and not really news. So let's move on with a bit more movie news. Kyle.
Dang it. I was like on my way back to the tab. I was trying to find the tab.
Wow.
Sorry.
Disaster.
All right. Well, movie news for the first time in, like, I think hype history, Fantastic Beasts news is not first.
Yeah. We're breaking the rules here. With that,
yeah, we are.
It's like my mom's away.
So we have some casting news this time around. Joining the cast of Fantastic Beasts are going to be Gemma Chan, Carmen Iyogo, I want to say. I don't think it's Iyogo. And John Voight joining. We don't know anything about their characters, but while I don't know who Gemma Chan and Carmen Iyogo are, I'm excited about John Voight because of one reason and one reason only, and that reason is National Treasure. That is the only thing I know John Voight in. I know he's in other things. I know he's, I think he's Angelina Jolie's dad.
Yes.
I know that, but I just like him in National Treasure, which is why I'm like, oh, cool. All right. Awesome. It's going to be really interesting, though, because this cast is very odd and eclectic, I guess, to say the least. So I don't know who he's going to be playing. I am assuming a muggle, but I don't know.
If he is not playing a curmudgeonly old man, I'm going to be very disappointed because he does it so well. He does it so well. Like, National Treasure, he's kind of cranky in, you know, like, Mission Impossible. He's not the jovial, happy guy. He's, you know, he's a curmudgeon. He's upset and cranky about everything. So I'm kind of hoping that he kind of stays in that vein because he does that so well.
Let's just recognize him for his starring role in Zoolander as Zoolander's dad in the coal mine. I think we all know that was really his shining moment.
Well,
as
I've never seen Zoolander, so I wouldn't.
Get out, Kyle. Get out. Well, I don't really know anything about these other two actors either. But what I do know is that they're not white. So
that's great.
Great. Yeah, it kind of feels like an afterthought, but let's just go with it because, as I have said, like a lot of times, this period in history was not white. So the fact that the whole cast was being white has been somewhat of a frustration for me. So that's good. That's definitely good to see them diversifying. And I'm sure they're great actresses. I haven't seen them in anything, but I'm sure, you know, the rest of this cast is just bonkers with talent. So John Voight being a part of that. So, yeah, I have no doubt about that. You know, it would be really great if we, like, knew what this movie was about.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I know, right? Yeah.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be nice? We, like, knew who people were playing and
watch.
Besides,
like,
just, it's a Harry Potter movie. Just watch it and like it. Just,
they're going to announce, like, a synopsis tomorrow after we record.
Be like, oh, probably. Oh, hey. Yeah, they'll release a teaser trailer starring John Voight. Yeah. It's, so that's, you know, that's good news. We continue to follow Fantastic Beasts going ahead. And man, every single week there's Harry Potter news.
It, like, really is.
What is happening? Hey, is it the resurgence? We have a resurgence?
It most definitely is. I mean, when you've got fans going to Leavesden Studio Tour and leaving socks for the poor Dobby who is dead but trapped in a glass box. I'm serious. I cried when I read this story. Like, I teared.
Oh, my God, Kristen.
Really? It was so freaking cute. I was like, you know what? That's adorable. Like, nobody like paid these kids, like, oh, this would be a really great way to get the Leavesden Studio Tour back in the news. Like they just discovered a couple of socks hung over the sign right by Dobby's, like, glass box. Like, it's so fandomy. I can't even handle it. I love it so much. If I ever make it there, I will leave a sock for Dobby.
When I went there...
Now I'm sad I didn't leave a sock.
I know. I was like, when I went there and I saw it, I was like, oh, well, that's increasingly morbid. All right. He was dead.
So true.
And I was just like, I mean, it's my thing. It's cool. I like it. But wow, guys, really? I thought, I don't know. It would be interesting. I don't think, like, they're not trying to do anything, right? They're just, like, they're just honoring him, or, like, are they trying?
Yeah, it's like a tribute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a shrine to Dobby.
In the movie and in the books, he's free. He's a free elf, but it just is so sad that he's in a glass box. The fans were just, you know, it's a nice little tribute. And
it's so awkward because, like, you walk through and that case is in, like, the creatures section. So, like, you see all the creatures that they've made. And, like, you see, it's in the room where they have all of the prosthetic people that they've made for, like, so there's, like, a version of, a sleeping or dead Hermione or whatever, like, when they're in the lake.
Oh, yeah. That was so creepy.
Yeah. So, like, they have all those dummies that you see in the Goblet of Fire when you see all of the actors underwater chained down. Those are all dummies. And so they had all those dummies in the room. And so he was in that room. But it's so interesting because, like, you're walking through and it's like, oh, Harry Potter. Oh, Harry Potter. Yay, yay, yay. Dead Dobby. Bam. Like,
nice.
Yeah,
I feel sad because I kind of don't remember that much from the studio tour, except it was the first time that I got to have Butterbeer because it was before I had been to America to the theme park, so I was very excited. But it's a good time.
We should go again for the $322 Christmas dinner.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let me just add a $2,000 airfare onto that and I'll meet you over there.
sounds fair.
yeah. Very good. Very funny. Okay. And one more Harry Potter story.
Yes. Last Harry Potter story and the last story
of this the is night. My favorite story ever to happen.
So on Twitter, J.K. Rowling.
Thank you.
on Twitter, J.K. Rowling has been, you know, like, fessing up all these fun little facts. She sits at her computer one day, she goes through Twitter, and she selects random Twitter answers to give out. And it's interesting because I'm going to talk about the less deep story here. Someone asked what Snape smelled like, and she was like, bitterness and old shoes. And that's what the story that Andrew decided to write about was, which was perfect. But then she goes and she completely shuts down a fan theory that Ron is a time-traveling Dumbledore. And the reason I bring this up is just because she has the sheer power to go onto Twitter anytime she wants, look at a theory that she doesn't agree with or, like, doesn't like, and she goes, nope, done. And she closes the doors and, like, everyone is, like, let down. And it's like,
crush your dreams.
it's so intense. Like, Selena wrote an amazing article about why she doesn't like Pottermore and the fact that, like, she doesn't like all of this canon, like, being released this way. And I think this is a great example. Like, just shutting down a theory like that isn't awesome.
Yeah, I love the aspect of this that says that Snape is bitter and a horrible person, because I hate Snape with everything. Very interesting character, very terrible human being, and I will fight anyone on that. So, like, feel free to go into that. But yeah, the other part of this was, she talked about the Ron Dumbledore theory. She talked about the theory that Snape's a vampire, that I'm sure we've all seen, Draco being a werewolf. I've seen that one as well. That I was talking about, you know, like, his involvement with Fenrir Greyback and all of that. And yeah, I think it's really sad because I don't think, even if people are asking her on Twitter, I kind of feel like it's not her place to get involved in those conversations. You know what I mean? Like, the books are out now. The story is done. People aren't asking for clarification on things that happened in the story. They're asking, like, hey, I had this cool theory. And, like, the great thing about all these theories is, because Harry Potter fans are the best, they're written in a way that actually totally makes sense with the books. You know, like, it fits with the books. But now you can't read the books thinking, like, oh, imagine if Draco was a werewolf for Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows. Like, you know, because she said, no, he's not. So I'm like, oh, like, Joe, answer questions about, like, things not being prequels and about whatever else you want to do, but maybe stay away from these kinds of theories because, yeah, I agree with Selena. These are not the kinds of things that are going to be addressed on Pottermore, and in a way it's like you can kind of avoid the Pottermore stuff if you want to, but you know, her, like, jumping into these fandom theories and debates, yes, she can, but I don't think she should.
She's destroying parts of the Harry Potter world that people have created for themselves. And I think what's awesome about Harry Potter is that it's so immersive, and that the headcanon is so strong, and like you said, it makes so much sense when people like line these things up. It makes sense, and so you expand upon the world with your own headcanon, and it just that's the way that the Potter universe can keep growing like that. Mm-hmm. But when she snuffs something out like that, it destroys that part of the world. It completely like illegitimizes everything, and it's not a cool thing. Like
John Green. Yeah, I mean, in the long run, she's built such a magnificent world in the Harry Potter books. And so the sheer fact that fans can look at the story and say, well, we got Harry's version of this, but there's, you know, count how many other characters, and they all have lives, and they all have things going on, and they all have secrets that we don't know. So fans are just trying to, you know, continue the love and continue the story, and they're coming up with their own secrets that they think these characters might have. And yeah, I think she should kind of stay out of it. Like, why squash all of that when it's just fans being creative and fans being involved and loving her character so much that they just want more? And so they're not tarnishing her world and what she's built at all. They're just adding more to it and giving more possibility. And I can't understand why she would want to squash that.
Yeah, I think, it must be a difficult thing because, you know, she kind of has this ownership. But at the same time, like, the story is done and she's put it out there. And like you've both said, I really like that aspect of the fandom, that whether or not you agree with these or not, like her saying Snape smells like bitterness. Okay, well, that doesn't impede on anyone's anyone's theories or anyone's enjoyment. Like, if you're a fan of Snape, you're still going to be like, I love Snape. And if you're a rational human being, you're still going to think that Snape is the worst character and the worst person ever to be written into the world. So that's fine. But things like the fan theories, it's just so it's just such like an abrupt way. It's so closed off. Like, that's it. No, it's not right. That's not right. And so it becomes harder for those fans to like enjoy those headcanons and those theories and like all of these thoughts that they've developed about Harry Potter, because the creator has said, no, like, that's not right. I don't know. It just seems kind of mean. And I wonder if she realizes perhaps like how important some of these things are to the people who created them or who think about the series in this way. Because like you said, I don't know why she would do it if she knew that. You know, if she knew like how upsetting that was to people to have the person who created probably their favorite series or like one of their favorite things to say to them no and just totally invalidate like any reading or any interpretation that they had put on it. Just seems really sad to me. I don't know. So we shall leave it there, I think. Let us know what you thought about the news of this week. You can tell us on Twitter at HyperbuleHype. You can tell us on hyperbule.com in the comments for this podcast post. And hey, if you really enjoyed the episode, why not head over to iTunes, make sure you subscribe, leave us a rating and review. We would really appreciate that. And don't forget to tell us who would play us in the adaptation of Hype, the podcast, when it's adapted for HBO in like a gritty miniseries. All right. But speaking of TV, time for our TV show of the week. I think Kristen is the newbie. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been watching this week?
I've been watching everything, it feels like. But the one that I'm actually really enjoying quite a bit that most people aren't is Blood and Oil on ABC. I think it's Sunday nights at 10. I don't know. I never end up watching it live. But I think it's really good. Like, I didn't watch Dallas back in the day, and I've never watched an episode of Dallas. But, I mean, this is like almost a version of that. It's like an oil tycoon family, and there's this newbie upstart guy who has just moved in, and it's like, I believe it's like North Dakota, so it's, you know, it's a very different setting from the Dallas setting. And it's, you know, if you've ever watched anything that has anything to do with the whole oil tycoon business and like all of that, it's very, very intense and crazy. And yeah, so I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It might also have something to do with the fact that Scott Michael Foster's on the show, and I love Greek, and I follow all of the Greek
kids. Oh my God, Cappy!
Yeah,
I love
and
him.
I follow, and he's playing this crazy son of the tycoon, and he's like, you know, he doesn't like his father very much, so they're always at odds. So it's a really interesting show. I don't know how long it'll last because it hasn't done very well in the ratings, but I'm hoping that it kind of picks up here and that everybody loves it. So I like it quite a bit.
The best thing about Kristen is that you watch literally every TV show. So yeah. I always hear about these shows that I have never heard of before, which is great because I had never heard of that before.
Yeah,
it's one that I have heard of. Yeah, one I have heard of is The Voice, though. Kyle, please explain yourself. Why have you looked at this?
So I just I got rid of my cable subscription lately to save money. And so I've been watching everything on Hulu, and I noticed like Hulu had The Voice up, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen The Voice in forever, so I'll watch it again. And it's been really fun watching the hosts just kind of react to the people on stage and seeing these people audition and stuff. I've never actually watched an entire season of The Voice. I've only ever watched the blind auditions. So I don't know if I'll stick on, because the blind auditions finished last week. So tonight was actually a new episode. I'll wait for it to get on Hulu and report back, I guess. But I'm excited. I like singing shows a lot. I like hearing people do things I can't. So I don't know. It's enjoyable. It's fun.
All right. Well, it was a new one for us. I don't know if we've had reality TV in there before. For me, I have, well, I technically haven't watched them yet. What I'm excited to watch this week is the return of Arrow and the Flash. But as we are recording, I haven't actually had a chance to watch them yet.
The Flash was great.
Okay. Yep. No spoilers. No one ruin it for me, guys. Okay. Don't do this to me right now. Yeah, I'm super excited. Obviously, I used to, you know, run a podcast about these shows, so I'm a big fan, and I think they are both left off in a really interesting place. So, yeah, that's going to be fun, and it's all leading up to Legends of Tomorrow, which is going to be so great. So it's a good time to be a superhero fan. And, you know, there's like a million things that we're watching, but if you guys want to ask about anything else, let us know on Twitter. We can have a chat about it. Kristen will never, ever stop if we get her started.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So time for Hot on Hyperball. As always, we have a lot of fun things happening up on Hyperball, but some of our favorites from this week. I wanted to give a shout out to an article that has 10 recommendations if you liked The Martian, 10 other films to check out, and they're all space travel movies, so I think we can appreciate those. There's things like Gravity, Interstellar, of course, because every film is about rescuing Matt Damon from a far-off planet. Apparently, Moon, which is amazing. Apollo 13, which is like the best film ever. I love that film so much. So all of those and many more, you can check them out on the list. We had some fun quizzes this week. I liked this one, which is how would you survive in a Walking Dead apocalypse, which is really fun because even if you don't watch The Walking Dead like me, you can still take the quiz, and it's like the questions are really funny and the answers are very funny as well. So I would definitely recommend that. Did you guys take it? Do you know how you would survive?
I did, and I'm basically like a doomsday prepper. I would stock up, and that's totally what I would do. So I was so excited.
Oh,
that's good.
Did not take it because I don't watch Walking Dead, so I was like, eh.
Boo.
Well, see, now you know that you can take it and like find out. It's actually very funny. I think it's themed off Fear the Walking Dead, the spinoff, which sounds like it's maybe a little more ridiculous than the original show. That's the vibe that I got from Katie, who made the quiz. So that was fun. And then we had another one. This one was kind of a test, which asked if you could match the Harry Potter chapter art from the American books to the chapter title. And I am very proud to say that I got like 92% or something on this, which is very impressive when you think about the fact that I have never seen any of this chapter art before in my life, because the British editions, which we have in Australia, do not have any artwork in them. So I did not know what these were, but I was proud. And then I looked at the comments, and of course everyone was like, I got 100%. I got 100%. And I was like, damn you Americans. So,
well, I didn't cheat at all, and I think I got like a 76 or something.
Oh,
I tried really.
Oh my god, I'm so
really
smart.
Hard.
I'm so smart. I'm so smart.
Well, I refuse to cheat. I guarantee you that some people got their books out and cheated if they were getting 100%, because some of those are not easy. So
I did not cheat. I don't even own the books. How would I?
Well, I give you credit because I believe
I
you.
Used,
but I'm just
the
saying.
Power of- Yeah, I used the power of elimination, I have to say. I went through and was like, which one of these would make sense? But there were definitely a couple in there that I basically had to click on every single picture until I got the right answer. So I was like, I promise I'm a good Harry Potter fan. I promise that we don't have these. It's not my fault. It made me feel very inadequate. I'm still recovering slightly from that. And then to finish up Hot on a Hyperbole this week, I wanted to point out a couple of our TV-themed articles. Because we've been talking a lot about the new fall pilots, and these shows have come up. I think Pam has been talking about Quantico. So we had a really good article about why you need to watch Quantico, and then we also had another one about Blind Spot. And have you guys watched that? I haven't seen either of these, but they're both on my list. So now I feel like I need to move them up and check them out before I get spoiled.
Yeah, I've watched, I'm up to date on Quantico. I think I'm one episode behind on Blind Spot, but I didn't watch yesterday's yet. But they're both really good. I think I like Quantico a little bit more, but that seems to be the consensus nowadays. But yeah, they're both very, very interesting, and they both have, like, they're kind of the same niche. Like, they both are FBI dramas, you know, but they're very different shows and they're telling very different stories, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I like Blind Spot has all the tattoos. It kind of reminded me of Prison Break just because of tattoos. I was like, oh, it's like Prison Break, but in her mind she has to solve the problem. I don't know if that's accurate or not because I've only watched the trailer and read this article, but Quantico looks amazing. Everyone keeps comparing it to like The Blacklist meets like How to Get Away with Murder or something. That kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So that sounds
a little bit.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah, a little bit. It's got a bit of that, like, there's more than just the mystery, but the mystery is the biggest draw. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, all of that, of course, and plenty more on hyperbole.com. Every week, we have lots of fun things. And as I have been saying for the past few weeks, we have so many TV catch-up articles and fun articles for all of the premieres of things. And, you know, there's still plenty of shows that haven't started airing yet. So keep with us. Those will continue even into November. And it's time for listener feedback. And I'm sorry that Selena isn't here because she was very excited that we got an email on our new email address that we only told you about last week, which is hype@hyperbole.com. If you want to send us anything, you want to let us know something that you can't fit on Twitter, or you want to send us your fandom dreams, which is apparently what Selena has been commissioning. So Kyle, did you want to take that one?
Yeah. Caitlin says that she was listening to Hype 67 and she was reminded of a crazy dream she had the other night. So because we mentioned Gilmore Girls a lot, she started binge watching it a couple weeks ago and she loved it. She didn't know and she didn't know why she didn't watch it when she aired. So she said, a few nights ago, I had a dream that I was at a convention and Alex Bledel. Did I say her name right?
Alexis Bledel.
Yes, yeah. Got it. Yeah. she was hosting a panel for some other actor, and after the panel was over, she went to talk to Alexis, and while they were talking, Lauren Graham showed up and joined the conversation. She doesn't really remember what happened after that, but then at the end of the dream, they were all best friends. Suffice to say, it was a good dream, and it happens to be all of Hype's fault that I started Gilmore Girls in the first place. And I'm so happy. I finished Gilmore Girls because of Kristen, so I totally understand. And she says, P.S., great timing to have created an email and then tell us to send you crazy fandom dreams. Nice. That sounds like
Kristen,
an epic dream.
Kristen, this is a good time. Have you had any crazy fandom dreams? Last time I was telling everyone how I had this dream that Amy Poehler and I met and she was really nice, but she wouldn't take a selfie with me. And I thought that was a nightmare more than a dream. Have you had any weird ones?
Now I'm racking my brain. I know I've had fandom dreams like in the past. I used to have a reoccurring dream. I haven't had a fandom dream lately, but I used to have a reoccurring dream that I was in Jeff Goldblum's place spot in the back of the Jeep in Jurassic Park. Like, I was the one being chased by a T-Rex. It was awful. But
see,
yes,
that's a nightmare.
I used to have that
that's
too.
A fandom nightmare.
It wasn't great, but you know, it was craziness. But yeah, I think that's probably the one I can remember off the top of my head.
Well, if you remember another one, you can always email it to us. Yay!
Hey.
Seriously, guys, email us stuff. We have this address. We're pretty excited about it. Okay, I wanted to say a big thank you to everyone on Twitter who gave us a shout out last week for Podcast Day. That was very nice of you. And also to Danielle W. and House of Black, who both told us that they would definitely date us. That's really nice to know.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. How thoughtful of you guys. We had a lot of feedback on the last episode, so I'm just going to run through some of it. Our resident Rocky Horror Picture Show super fan, Danielle, says that actually it's not more okay to do a remake, which is something we were kind of asking you guys if that would be all right, because, you know, the way that they do all the shadow casts and everything. So Danielle has the answer for us. She says, shadow casts are an important part of the experience, but the difference between that and a remake is that they're paying homage to what's on screen. They're perhaps making fun of something that's on the screen or doing their best to recreate the actor's portrayal. However, they're mostly silent, which keeps the focus on the screen. While it was a stage play previously, it was the movie's cast that made it memorable. A remake of the movie without Meatloaf and Tim Curry and his beautiful legs wouldn't be nearly as magical and would just have a different tone to it. There's just something about Rocky Horror Picture Show that time can't touch, and neither could a remake. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, Danielle. We will defer to your expert opinion on this matter. Kyle, did you want to grab that next one?
Absolutely. The next comment is from Stephanie, and she says she doesn't believe that anyone has the ability to live up to Julie Andrews' Mary Poppins. And she also points out that Julie Andrews wasn't an icon then. She only became so later in life. And so she asks, who in our generation has a talent and star quality to become as iconic as Mrs. Andrews in future generations? Not necessarily for the role of Mary Poppins, but in general, does any one person come to mind? Whew, that's a good question. You know, and like, I hate to say it, like, I'm not saying it just to say it, but I think Anne Hathaway does, honestly.
Ugh.
But don't. Okay.
Is that just because of? No, I totally see where you're coming from.
Like, I can actually just see her being an icon. Like, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, see, she has a kind of timeless quality about her, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when I think Julie Andrews, like, it's more than just, you know, an actress, a really great actress. It's she could do everything. And, yeah, I mean, Anne Hathaway's great. But for some reason, like, I feel like it's got to be someone who I think could do everything. So, like, first name in my brain is Aaron Tveit from, like, Broadway and Les Mis. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like he could do everything and could very well, if he got the right role, be a very iconic actor later on in life and, like, for generations to come. I don't know. We'll see.
But probably couldn't play Mary Poppins.
No.
Unless they went in a very different direction.
Hey, you know,
gender swapped Mary Poppins, everyone.
Yeah. I would, I mean, like, yeah, exactly. I understand where you're coming from, Stephanie, but I don't think that Julie Andrews wasn't an icon when she was cast in Mary Poppins, but that was definitely a large contributor to her appeal. So, you know, I don't know if it was really a thing that was like that we kind of imposed on her so much later as a thing that kind of developed from that role. But I see what you're saying. I would agree with what Kristen's saying, though. Like, Julie Andrews she's like a true triple threat, and she has this kind of amazing X factor to her. And I know Selena keeps saying Emily Blunt, who I like a lot, but she's not as good of a singer as Julie Andrews. No one is. And really, until someone is like cast in that role, I think it's going to be hard for me to kind of imagine anyone in that role. But yeah, I don't know. That's a really interesting question. I would be interested if you have any suggestions for us. And Kristen, did you want to grab that final comment?
Sure. Allison L. says, I always find myself slightly stressed come fall because there are always so many new shows I want to watch, and I find myself with zero time. The only one I'm doing a good job with is How to Get Away with Murder, but I really want to get in on this season of Doctor Who, Quantico, Limitless, Scream Queens, and American Horror Story. I'm already so behind. Really enjoyed your input on the shows you're watching. Yeah.
It is a stressful time.
It's so it stressful. Is. There are 8 television shows on Thursday nights alone.
Yeah, I think I might watch maybe like 3 shows a week, but I mean, that's stressful for me.
Me and Kristen are in the same boat.
I think I watch 3 shows a night.
Yeah. You guys, I don't know how you have time to do anything else. I am genuinely in awe of the amount of TV that you manage to consume. It's quite astounding to me. So that's good.
I have a really bad knack for picking shows that get canceled. So, you know, I always lose 2 or 3. So.
Yep.
Oh, so what are you watching at the moment? What are we going to lose? You're kind of like the magic 8-ball of what's going to be canceled.
Well, that's the problem is I watch everything, so I'm just bound to lose a couple. But I'm thinking Minority Report is probably not going to stick around.
No, probably not.
There's a couple of others that are probably doomed, sadly.
Yeah. Well, we will keep you up to date on the shows that we are watching, especially as more things premiere. And let us know what you guys are watching. And Allison, let us know what you have stuck with. Hopefully you haven't picked the same shows as Kristen, because as she's just told you, there's no point in getting attached. And don't forget, all of those people left us comments on Hyperbole on the podcast post. But you can get in touch with us on Twitter. Gordon said he was way behind on Hype. Was up to episode 62, but I just wanted to chime in and wholeheartedly agree with me, Marma, because Ross Geller is the worst. And I have to say, Gordon, that I don't remember saying this, but I say it like 20 times a day. So that definitely sounds like something that could have made its way onto Hype. Ross is the objective worst character on Friends, and I don't know why more people don't understand that.
I agree.
He is terrible. Thank you. You can stay. Kristen, this is a litmus test.
I didn't really watch Friends.
Oh.
He's the worst.
The correct answer is Chandler is the best and Ross is
is the best. It's so true.
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes. Chandler's clearly the best, so I do know that.
All right, there we go. So we ended on a note of agreement, although we may not have had too many of those in between. Let us know what you thought about what we talked about this week. And of course, if there is a big story that you'd like us to discuss on next week's episode, you can always let us know and we will see what we can do. So we'll be back next time with hopefully our regular panel. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. This was really fun to have you on.
It was fun. Thanks, guys. I like talking TV and books and all that fun stuff.
So fun.
Yay. And let's see the disaster that is The Sign out now. So we'll be back next time. Until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
Oh, look at that. We're still in sync. All right. We'll see you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.